Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship, and a particular welcome to visitors to the church this morning. Especially, of course, we welcome those of our neighbouring and linked congregation of Ardea joining us for this combined service today. Whoever you are and from wherever you've come, welcome to Livingston Church. And we open our worship now by singing to God's praise hymn number 113, God the Father of Creation, 113. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your great mercy, you've gathered us together into your visible church. Help us to maintain the purity of worship. Help us to honour you both in spirit and in outward form. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints on earth and in heaven. Lord, we confess to you our failures, failures of thought, word and deed, opportunities neglected, striving after things which are temporal and forgetting the eternal values. Forgive our past, Lord. And by your great mercy, set us free from the grip of sin in the present time. Enable us to face the future in the strength which you supply through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, it is the last Sunday of the month, and always on that occasion, in here in Livingston Church, we have the Jesus and Me Club in the church. So we welcome them particularly today, and Mrs. Louisa Chisholm is leading them in their presentation to us now. Mrs. Chisholm.
This month, our topic has been love. We did a reenactment of the Good Samaritan. We made the love banners. And then last week, when we were learning our songs, we did links and what linked, the chain link was what they loved about themselves, and it'd be family, friends, the Xbox, playing football, eating, I think, was another one we quite liked. And they've learned the hymns that they're going to sing now.
Banqueting house, and the banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting house, and the banner over me is love. He brought me to his banqueting house, and the banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Banqueting table, and the banner over me is love. He feeds me at his banqueting table, and the banner over me is love. He feeds me at his banqueting table, and the banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. nation, and the banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be.
Well done.
Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, he'll always love me wherever I stray. To his dear loving arms do I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. See the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Should ask of me, how can I tell? Glory to Jesus, I know very well. God's Holy Spirit with mine does agree, constantly witnessing Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Well done. Thank you, Joe. Well done. Good.
Thank you, Louisa and the young people. Now, we have with us today, of course, also the young people from our dear church. They've made a special journey to be with us today and for this combined service. So I'm going to come down now and speak with all the young people for a few minutes. First, let's see what's in the bag. In the bag, we have a jar. And what do you think is in the jar? Yes?
Jam.
He thinks it's jam. Do you think it's jam in the jar? Yes, he's right. It's a jar of jam. Do you like jam? You don't like it? Some do, some don't. Have you had some today? Have you had some jam already today? Nobody had any jam today. Oh, well, maybe later on. Oh, you have. Very good. You've had some jam today. Well, there's a jar of jam. And we've been thinking about jam. The young people in our dear church, we were thinking about jam last Sunday because we thought about a boy whose name was James Alexander Dunbar. And you can think of what his initials would be. James Alexander Dunbar, his initials are J-A-M, spells jam. Do your initials spell a word? Mine don't. No, some people's do. And then James Alexander Dunbar. We thought about that in our dear church last Sunday, and we also thought about jam because we knew that today we were coming here and we were going to join with the Jam Club. Now, when you speak about Jam here and the young people and the Jam Club, what does J-A-M stand for here in the Livingston Church, young people? Do you remember what it stands for? It stands for Jesus and Me. Jesus and Me, that's what they call the group they have, the Sunday school they have here in Livingston Church. And so it's a Jam Club in a way. Now, some people like to have jam every day. Do you like jam every day? Not every day, not many days. Some do, some don't. All right, jam every day. Well, we had jam, as I say, last Sunday in our dear church. And here in Livingston Church, the young people have jam every Sunday because it stands for Jesus and Me. But really, that's with us all the time, isn't it? Jesus and Me is something that we all have every day. Never mind whether you like jam or whether you don't. Never mind whether you've had some today or whether you haven't. Never mind that. Jesus and Me is what those letters stand for. And Jesus and Me is every day because He goes with us every day to help us through the day and help us to do what we really should do and keep us from doing the things that we should not do and saying the things we should not say and thinking the things we should not think. Jesus and Me is a very important thing. So the Livingston young people who have that every Sunday, they know about it. And the Ardeer young people have been thinking specially about it last Sunday and now here today. So we're all thinking about it. Jesus and Me is very important because He goes with us all the time and helps us through. Now we're going to sing the young people's hymn. It's One More Step Along the World I Go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, we held this combined service today because for some time now this has been a vacant charge. We've been without a settled minister, and we felt it was time to... We formed a committee and we felt it was time to let the congregation know a little more about the difficulties that the committee has been having. And here to speak about that for a minute or two now is one of our Livingston elders, Mr. Andrew Tomlinson. Andrew.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, I read an interesting report in the newspaper. It concerned a couple whose pet dog had died. The report went on to say that they'd liked the dog so much that they decided to have it cloned. So now, at great expense, they have a copy of their beloved pet. If only it was as simple with ministers. We would have the Church of Scotland cloning every minister they had so that there would never be a shortage, though I'm not sure what Mr. Hebbington would think about that. I haven't had a chance to discuss it with him yet. The nominating committee was launched on its way by the Presbytery Vacancy Procedures Committee in the January of last year. Since then, the committee has met 8 times. These meetings have resulted in the writing of the parish profile and the placing of adverts, to which, unfortunately, there was no response. It was decided to make a personalised email contact, first with churches and ministers, where a call to another charge might be a reasonable option. These emails asked the churches to keep us in their prayers as we continued on our vacancy journey. Of the few replies, all wished us well in our search for a new minister. We then decided to widen our email contact to most of Scotland, unfortunately with the same result. In addition, we made contact with newly qualified ministers both here and in the Presbyterian Church of Ireland. Our vacancy remains listed on the Church of Scotland website. We're reminded in Psalm 37, verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently." Indeed, that is what we must continue to keep in mind. And in conclusion, I would ask that you remember in your prayers of thanksgiving our local minister, Mr. Hebbington, for his dedication to our 2 churches, and our interim moderator, Mr. Ken Welsh, for the work he has done on our behalf. I would also ask that you pray that God will prompt a minister to answer our call to lead us on the path he has set before us. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And also in John's Gospel, chapter 10 at verse 1. John chapter 10 at verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 159, Lord for the Years, 159. Thank you. John's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And at verse 16, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. There is no doubt, not only from those words in John's Gospel, but from all we get to know about the earthly life and ministry of Jesus, no doubt that Jesus thought of himself as commissioned to take care of his people. It also became clear in the course of his ministry that he did not mean only the Jewish people into whose nation he happened to have been born. He meant all the people of God's world. In that context, thinking about the task of caring for God's people, it was natural to think of that task as being effectively symbolized by the picture of a shepherd looking after his flock. It was not a new idea in the time of Jesus' earthly life. It was a well-known feature of the Old Testament. Several of the Old Testament writers bring in the idea in a variety of contexts. Most notably, perhaps, the psalmist who penned the psalm which has become a well-loved feature of our worship. The picture of the Lord as our shepherd brings to mind all the best features of shepherding. Jesus has something to say about the difference between the good shepherd and the one who is only a hireling. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Old Testament times, and still in the time of Jesus' earthly life, sheep were important as a valuable asset, and they had to be carefully looked after. I'm sure we can say that sheep today are much the same as they ever were. They need to graze out in the open, up on a hillside. They're inclined to wander and stray and can easily get lost. They're a prey to marauding wild animals and to thieves and robbers, so that the business of looking after them is a responsible duty and a constant challenge. The good shepherd, Jesus says, looks after the sheep because he cares about them. That's why he is on the job, because he cares. He was probably born to the job, brought up in the atmosphere of shepherding, so that the minding of the sheep, it's meat and drink to him, it is his life. In the Greek language, there are two different words which come into English as good. One of them is thinking about the skill and ability of a person. Good at the job because of his know-how. The other word includes all that, but also brings in a winsomeness, a loveliness. And it's this word which John the Gospel writer uses when he's telling us that Jesus speaks of the good shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus says, has something which the hireling lacks. The hireling is only in the job for the wages it pays. He doesn't really care about the sheep, only about his own safety and his own welfare. Jesus is clearly thinking of the example of shepherding as an indication of the work of the pastor who has to look after the spiritual welfare of his people. So the hireling is the one who is only in it as a job, doesn't really care for the souls and the spiritual well-being of the people who constitute his flock. The late Professor Willie Barclay tells about a minister who had trouble with the office bearers of his congregation. This trouble, Barclay says, was one of the most unfortunate and distasteful kinds of trouble. It had to do with money. And one of the office bearers spoke up in a meeting and said, "Pay the hireling his wages and let him go." Sad indeed when a person's ministry comes to a situation like that. Thanks be to God, there are examples of the opposite attitude. When I was young, at the stage of Sunday school and Bible class, our family, every Sunday, got on a corporation bus and went a 10-minute journey to attend our church. About the time I was leaving school and going to university, my parents transferred their membership to the church just down the street, a 5-minute walk from our house. Later, our previous church got a new minister, and we heard that at one meeting when his application was being considered, one lady asked, "What degrees does he have?" You may have heard of that minister. His name was Tom Jarvie, and he later held a charge much nearer here. Well, at that time, Mr. Jarvie didn't have any degrees. He had taken what the Church of Scotland then called the modified course. But what he did have was a concern for the flock, a readiness to spend himself for the spiritual welfare of his congregation. No doubt it is good if a minister has academic degrees and distinctions, if he or she can read the Bible in the original Hebrew and Greek languages. That can help a minister to be more effective in his or her preaching. But it would be very easy for such a minister to get all wrapped up in the scholarship to the detriment of the most vital element. The most vital element is care for the flock, the spiritual well-being of the congregation. That is why it's important for the people of a vacant charge to get the right minister to fill their vacancy. Of course, it is true that when we have a minister in a charge, we pay him or her a stipend. The original idea of a stipend was not that ministers were being paid for academic degrees or distinctions, not for moderatorships or convenerships they might have held, not even for the extent of the workload. The idea of the stipend was that it enabled the minister to have a decent, moderate lifestyle, free of financial worry, so that he could concentrate all his attention on what we have called the vital element, the spiritual care of the flock. That maybe makes it difficult for a congregation to make sure of choosing the right minister. It's easy enough to ascertain what degrees and distinctions a minister has. It's not so easy to check in advance how much he or she cares for the flock, although that will no doubt become evident in the course of time. But there are two important points we have to keep in mind. The first point is this: when Jesus sent his disciples out to take the gospel to all the world, he told them that he would be with them all the way and wherever they went. Now, you and I are the successors of those original disciples. We are the ones charged with carrying out the task of evangelism in the present age. So we, in our turn, have that assurance, the presence of the Lord with us, helping us with whatever we have to do in his service. And the second point is this: we have to look at that other verse with which we began, "There shall be one flock and one shepherd." It's a reminder to us that we all belong together. We are all of us together, members of the Lord's flock. We're not all members of the same congregation or the same denomination of the church. There are differences between us in a number of ways, but the Lord accepts us as we are. With those differences, we are still members of his flock. We here today, representatives of the linked congregations of Ardeer and Livingston, we are an example of this togetherness. For about 16 years, we have shared this linkage, giving expression to the truth that we are together part of the one flock of the one shepherd. The Lord is not seeking to impose upon all Christians a uniformity of organization and form of worship. He takes us as we are, with all the richness of diversity and the different ways in which we organise ourselves and the different ways in which we worship, the Lord takes all this and weaves it into his pattern of Christian life, the life of the church, the witness to the world. That is what is expected of us, to go on being his followers, to be ready to take the opportunities of service which present themselves from time to time, to support one another and encourage one another to give our best. We believe that God has a purpose for us here, a purpose for the congregations of Ardeer and Livingston, separately and together. We believe that there is such a person as the right minister to become the minister of our linked congregations and to lead us into the unknown future. We believe that in God's good time, that minister will emerge and we shall advance into the next phase of our Christian life and service. In the meantime, we have to continue giving our best. Regular worship Sunday by Sunday and at other times as the occasion may arise, commitment to the Christian cause and readiness to accept the opportunities of service which present themselves. Continuing to follow the leading of the Good Shepherd, who a long time ago now gave his life for us, his sheep. There is surely only one proper response to that self-giving love. May God help us to continue to give that response. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. A hymn from CH3, number 248, "For My Sake and the Gospel's, Go and Tell Redemption's Story," 248.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all your gifts. In token of our thankfulness, we bring our material offerings to be dedicated to the service of your church and for the advancement of your kingdom. Inspire us with your Spirit, Lord, and so guide our steps that all our life may be a thank offering to you. Lord, you are the fountain of all goodness. We remember how you have blessed us all the way through life. Day by day, and even moment by moment, we are receiving your gifts, material and spiritual, and benefiting from your never-failing goodness. Today especially, we think of our life in the church, all that it has meant to us, the way you have led us from our earliest days through varied experiences, learning all the way, learning ever more and more of your truth through your word in the Bible and through interaction with others of your people, and coming more and more to know the blessedness of being able to depend on your guidance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you especially for Jesus, for the difference he has made and continues to make to human life, for the record of his earthly life and the presence of his Spirit to guide and save us. We pray for your people today, Lord, the people of your church. We think of the church universal throughout the world and beyond, in all its forms and denominations, all accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, and all worshipping you, our God, each in their own way. We pray for your blessing and help today in particular, Lord, for our two linked congregations, gathered here to join in worship, to thank you for help in the past and for your sustaining power in this present time, and to ask humbly for your guidance as we together face the uncertain future. We are your flock, Lord, and you are our shepherd. Keep us together and lead us where we ought to go. We commend to your love and care those in need today. Human need takes many different forms, and people suffer in many different ways. Be with them all, Lord, and whatever may be the form of their trouble, help them to be aware of your presence and bring them safely through. Bless and guide those in positions of authority and leadership, our Queen and the Royal House, the leaders of nations, and those who influence human lives at any level. Make them pure in motive and resolute in doing what is right. Bless those dear to our own hearts, wherever they are, and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the example of faith and service set for us by those of earlier times and those of our own time whose earthly service is done. Keep us in continuing fellowship with them and with those whose earthly life is yet to begin, and bring us all to your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. One or two things to say, friends, before we come to the close. I'm asked to announce that the service which was planned for Wednesday of this week, Wednesday the 2nd of March, at the Thistle Day Care Centre, that service has been cancelled. There's no further intimation about it, but there won't be a service there as planned on Wednesday. Members of the Livingston congregation are asked to note that the annual general meeting of the congregation, which was scheduled for next Sunday, that appeared in the leaflet last Sunday, that meeting is being delayed by 1 week and will now be held after morning worship a fortnight today, Sunday the 13th of March. And members of the Ardeer congregation will also be having their annual general meeting on that day. So both annual general meetings, a fortnight today, Monday the 13th of March, after worship. And after worship today, we have tea and coffee on offer, and some more than that, I'm sure, through in the large hall. Here in Livingston Church, we customarily have it in the small hall, but we are here to welcome you all from Ardeer today and to accommodate you in the larger hall. So please come through afterwards and have tea or coffee and something to eat. Thank you. Now we come to the close of this service with hymn 522, "The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising." 522. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.